Welcome back to the Young Turks. Cenk Uygur with you on Air America Radio. J.R. Jackson producing, Rock and Roll Jesus directing on theyoungturks.com. A little bit later in the program, Tom DeLake compares Democrats to Hitler. We'll make our own comparisons. And they are mixing humans and sheep. I'm not kidding. They're doing it. Fascinating. We'll tell you all about it in a little bit. But now, equally fascinating is the author of Containment, Rebuilding a Strategy Against Global Terror, Ian Shapiro, joins us on The Young Turks. Ian, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
I said you're equally fascinating to humans and sheep mixing.
So, I feel greatly complimented by that.
Yeah, well, you know, I know you're at Yale and stuff like that, and so Right. Other people have given you other compliments, but I'm sure that takes the cake.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Ian, now, you know, you claim that we should go back to containment, but it's not like that worked with the Soviet Union.
Sure, it worked with the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union basically imploded without our ever having to go to war in order to bring that about.
Yeah, I was kidding. I know. I'm with you. Yes, it did. Now, why did we, since it worked with the Soviet Union, and in reality, of course, it worked with Saddam Hussein as well. We had him, as General Zinni says, we had him in a box.
Absolutely. It worked with Libya, too. We got Gaddafi to turn right around in the late 1990s by using all the classic tools of containment.
So if it worked in all those instances, and Yeah. We got an excellent track record of success, why did we go away from it?
Well, I think we went away from it because the neoconservatives who rewrote America's national security policy in the think tanks in the 1990s seized the moment after 9/11, and the Democrats were caught, maybe not mixing with sheep, but they were sort of donkeys in the headlights, completely mesmerized and sidelined by this well-worked-out neoconservative agenda, which was then implemented more or less overnight.
You know, I like where you're going with that, Ian. That was nicely done. And I like calling you Ian when you're Professor Shapiro.
Go for it.
By the way, just a quick aside here.
Yeah.
Democrats totally wussed out, didn't they?
Absolutely, yeah. My book, in many ways, is harder on the Democrats than it is on the Bush administration for failing to come up with any alternatives to it. You know, in politics, you can't beat something with nothing. And that's basically what the Democrats have been peddling. They've been criticizing the administration for dishonesty, for incompetence, for failing to have exit strategies, for screwing up the implementation of the Iraq policy. But, you know, when you really get down to it, it wasn't bad implementation of good ideas. It was bad implementation of bad ideas. And until the Democrats start to articulate some good ideas of their own, people are not going to get behind them.
You see, that's where I agree with you only 100% and disagree with you 0%. I mean, it's, you know, the people like Hillary Clinton who now go around saying, hey, listen, it was executed poorly. No, it was an awful idea. It was a hideous idea to begin with.
Yeah, it made absolutely no sense.
And now they turn around and say, and the problem was, what bothers me almost as much is that they let go of things that worked, you know, the United Nations, containment, the Marshall Plan, all these things that showed tremendous success for the United States of America. I would say also the New World Order by George H.W. Bush, the practical realist ideas of the Republicans and the Democrats that they had agreed on for now decades in running foreign policy for the United States.
Well, indeed, I agree with that. As I argue in my book, Containment, Rebuilding a Strategy Against Global Terror, Bush Sr.'s policy in Iraq was, and the global coalition backed by international law that he put together to get Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait was a classic example of successful containment. And the very fact that he was widely criticized at the time for not attempting regime change in Iraq. But the truth is that there would have been a very bad idea for all the reasons that we have seen. The basic concept of containment is disarmingly simple. It's you stop the bully without yourself becoming a bully. So we don't get into gratuitous regime change around the world. We don't knock off dictatorships. We don't support them either. But we don't put ourselves in the role of trying to dominate the world. Kennan was much more. Kennan, George Kennan, who dreamed up the original doctrine of containment in the Truman administration, was much more concerned with building a world which nobody could dominate than one that the Americans could dominate.
We're talking to Professor Ian Shapiro. He's a Sterling Professor of Political Science at Yale University. He also wrote Containment, Rebuilding a Strategy Against Global Terror. Now, here's an interesting part that is a little different than what we used to have before, Professor Shapiro. And before, we had what we considered rational actors in the Soviet Union. And so it was easier to contain them. And I would argue that Iran falls in that same category, so that the panicking and possibly attacking Iran is as bad as an idea as I've ever seen, even worse than attacking Iraq. But we do have irrational actors now that we didn't have before. We have the Al-Qaedas and other loose terrorist networks that don't mind dying, that deterrence doesn't work with. What do we do with this?
Well, I think what you have to do is distinguish between the people who actually kill themselves and blow themselves up and the people who send them. Because without the people who send them, the people who blow themselves up are not going to be particularly dangerous. They have to be trained, they have to be equipped, they have to be motivated, they have to be financed, they have to be sent. You know, and there's some subset of any population which you can talk into killing themselves, kamikaze pilots, the soldiers who went to certain death at Gallipoli, the Tamil Tigers who are not religious fanatics at all, but they have people who will blow themselves up. But as I said, what you do is you think about the leaderships of these groups, and they are highly rational and highly strategic actors. Osama bin Laden himself is arguably a more apt strategic calculator than the Bush senior administration. Likewise with the Iranians, as you've noted, I think they've outmaneuvered us at every point in this last conflict. So, you know, our invasion of Iraq has turned Iran into the most powerful player in the Middle East. So these are not people that miss any strategic tricks.
Well, Professor
and
Shapiro,
you've got to focus on the people who send the terrorists, not the terrorists themselves.
Well, I partly agree with you there. Obviously, without the financing, they're not going anywhere. That's step one. But as I said before, I certainly agree with you on Iran, but I don't actually agree with you on Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda. I think if you gave Osama bin Laden a nuclear weapon and said, hey, listen, you can go ahead and detonate this in San Francisco or New York or Omaha, he'd do it in a flat second.
Well, he might, but again, we have, you know, there are levels that you go after with containment. The first is the leaderships of these groups, but then the second, of course, is the enabling states. Because obviously we do not, it's not in anybody's interest for nuclear weapons to proliferate, but I don't see the Iranians or anybody else or the Pakistanis giving nuclear weapons to terrorist groups anytime soon. Not least because they might turn around and use them on those regimes themselves. Never forget that Osama bin Laden's principal adversary in the world is not the United States, but the Saudi regime. He wants first and foremost to knock off the Saudi current Saudi leadership. None of these regimes, or the Iranians for that matter, have any interest at all in giving nuclear weapons or chemical or biological agents to terrorist groups that they then would not be in any position to control.
We're talking to Professor Ian Shapiro. He wrote the book Containment, Rebuilding a Strategy Against Global Terror. Generally, I definitely agree with containment, and I agree with you that deterrence aimed at specific countries who do have the nuclear weapons is a much better route, and a route that makes more sense and is more likely to work. But what do you do with al-Qaeda? How do you fight al-Qaeda? You know, just hoping that the deterrence works in those countries, not giving them nuclear weapons, I think is insufficient. Because what if they get a loose nuke from someone who's just in it for the money, from Russia or Ukraine or Kazakhstan? So what do you do to target al-Qaeda, Professor?
There are basically two strategies, Cenk. One is human intelligence, getting as much information and as much access to the internal dynamics of terrorist networks that you can. And the second is not playing into the populations that support them, not giving excuses to people to support them. What the Bush administration has done by massively increasing our unpopularity across the Middle East has given every dissatisfied population reasons to support these groups that promise them liberation and promise them, above all, to drive America out of the Middle East. So, the supply side and the demand side. On the supply side, we try and get more information about where they're getting their weapons, about who's supporting them with know-how and technology. And we should, of course, be continuing to work with the Russians to buy up nuclear devices and capabilities that are floating around international black markets. But then on the demand side, we shouldn't play into their hands by pursuing policies that is going to build legitimacy and support for them on the ground in the Middle East.
Well, certainly Iraq played right into their hands.
Absolutely.
But, you know, and now the threats against Iran. I mean, Osama bin Laden gets to trot around the world saying, hey, we told you they were going to attack random Muslim countries that didn't even attack you.
Yeah.
And it also robs us of deterrence value. Because if Pakistan sees that we attack countries, whether they attack us or not, or whether they shelter the people who attack us or not, they think, well, I have no incentive to cooperate, or I don't have as much incentive to cooperate. Well, it's not just Pakistan, but all the countries, because they might attack me even if I didn't attack them.
Yeah, but there you're just scratching the surface, Cenk, because the real cost in terms of deterrence and containment to the war is we've been pursuing for the last 5 years is the massive demonstration of American weakness in Iraq. Our inability to quell that country means that countries like Iran no longer have reason to fear that what America might do, and this is largely why they've been so emboldened.
And that's might be part of the reason they took the 15 British soldiers over the weekend.
Absolutely.
And why they've now no longer cooperating with the IAEA in overseeing their nuclear program. All that is true. And you know, of course, the other part of containment was that we did great intelligence work back when we were fighting the Soviet Union, and we had great human intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Now that seems to have dried up as well. I mean, I hope they've got spies inside Al-Qaeda. I'm not convinced they do, but that's really I agree with you there as well. That's the way to fight Al-Qaeda is to go in, find out who they are, and do some real intelligence work and root them out that way.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do it by bombing random countries that they're not in.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of blame to go around there. Both the Clinton administration and the Bush administration, and indeed the Reagan administration before Clinton, all became so seduced by the idea of high-tech intelligence that they disinvested in human intelligence. And, of course, with the Reagan administration and Bush administration, they went with all the Star Wars expenditures and so on. But, you know, that kind of spending, while, you know, enormously expensive, does nothing for us as far as the kind of human intelligence we need in order to face these very much more localized kinds of threats.
I think that's exactly right. I encourage everybody to check out Containment, Rebuilding a Strategy Against Global Terror. It's a great book and one I certainly agree with. Professor Ian Shapiro, thank you so much for joining us on the Young Turks.
Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. Young Turks on Air America Radio.
It's the Young Turks on Air America Radio.